They can just sit down and wait on us. So, anyway. But our message this morning is about our cross and the cross. And they're different. So, we want the Lord to bless us this morning. And we want to first talk about our cross. And we want to start in Luke 9, 23 through 27. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Now, it says here, deny himself and take up his cross daily. This isn't something you pick up one time, and it works for the rest of the time that you're here on this earth. That isn't what this is, our cross. It's not the same. But to deny means to forget oneself, lose sight of one's own interests, to forget our struggles, our problems, our things that are happening, and to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. A cross means something. Our cross is things that cross our own interest. In other words, we have to lay down some things. Aren't you glad that the Lord told you what you needed to lay down? Aren't you glad he's still telling you? Because we have to learn how to lay down some things. They're not all worldly things, but there are worldly things. But there are some personal ways that we think. There are some personal things that we have locked into our mind and said, this is how I'm always going to feel about this. This is who I am. This is what I think. And nobody can change my mind. We have to lay those things down.
Yes, amen.
God wants to come in and change everything about us. He would like to take down everything that we think that we are and what we think we have. And he would like to take it all down and then build from the bottom up everything that is like him. Because we have built some of these things that we have, we have built them on faulty foundations. We were out there in sin and all we had was sinking sand to build on. And the ideas and the things we came up with, they are not strong. They are not eternal. They are things that are temporary. And they are temporary fixes to problems. You know, people have a way of, you know, many people, how they go through their struggles and trials is they say they pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. In other words, they just bear it. They just set themselves and bear it and all. But God has something better than that. He has something to where we can relax in his arms and he can carry us through. He can take us through. It is such a wonderful thing to give up ourselves, deny ourselves, deny those things. Listen, we all came into this with lots of stuff, lots of things on hand, a lot of things that need to be changed, a lot of ideas, thoughts. There's a lot of things that we indulge in and that we're out there participating in that we don't need to be participating in. The Lord knows all those things. But you know what? He is so loving. He is so kind. He is so blessed to us that he bears with us. We don't know how to deny ourselves properly in the beginning. We're just starting out. As we go further and further, we learn how to deny ourselves. It's not easy, but we learn it. But denying ourselves is taking up our cross. Our cross is to deny ourselves. Out in the world, we did anything and everything we wanted to do. And we didn't want anybody telling us what to do. And many of us moved out of our parents' home when we were turned 18 because we didn't want anybody telling us what to do anymore. That's who we were.
Yes.
But in order to follow Jesus, you have to let him. You have to deny yourself. The way you feel about it, what you think about it, you have to lay yourself down. This is your cross. You know, there's a story told of a man that is carrying his cross. When Jesus was carrying his cross, You know, remember how he stumbled and fell under the weight of it? And how they got somebody from the crowd to finish carrying his cross to the place that he was crucified? Because they had kept him up all night. They had beat him and done all manner of evil things to him. He was so weak, in such a weakened condition. He couldn't bear his cross. And he called somebody out. They called somebody out of the crowd to bear it for him. Well, there's a story told of a man that, an allegory, so to speak, of a man carrying his cross and how it's heavy and it's hard to bear. And he's looking around and he's looking at different crosses. He's looking at other people's crosses. And he's looking at them and he says, my cross is heavier. Mine is bigger. You know, it's more. It's heavier than others. He's looking over here and their cross doesn't seem so hard. And I'm looking over there and their cross doesn't seem so big and heavy and everything. And it's told how he began to shave off just a little of his cross. You know, so what does that mean in real life? It means I don't deny myself today.
Right.
I don't deny myself today. I go ahead and say what I want to say and everything. And well, if I have to apologize later, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. You know, I'm going to tell them what I think. Not going to deny myself. I know I shouldn't eat this, but I'm going to eat it anyway. I'm upset and I want it. I know that it's not good for me to think on these things, but I'm just going to pet and pamper myself all day and think on these things and just have all kinds of attitudes in my mind and heart. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not telling anybody anything, but I'm petting and pampering myself all day. That's not denying yourself. So anyway, he began to cut off these little pieces, and he kept cutting off little pieces, and he came to the end of his life. And he came right up to this huge ravine. And he said, how am I going to get across, Lord? And he says, lay across the ravine. Now you already know what happened. You know how it is. He may have looked over to the side, and he may have seen so-and-so over there, and they took their cross, and they set it down, and they just kind of tipped it forward, and it went crossed and hit the other side. And they just walked across. But what he found out is when he put his like that and he tipped it over there, it was just too short. And it fell off into the ravine and he couldn't go. Listen, dear ones, we can't afford to cut off our crosses. We can't afford. We need to pick up our cross every day. Deny ourselves. Our cross is that we deny ourselves. We don't get to be the ruler of our life anymore. God is the ruler of our life. Aren't you glad he is?
Yes, amen.
Listen, there are people that spend lots and lots of money going to fortune tellers and everything, trying to figure out the future. We have a God that knows the future. And so if we say, Lord, you take over, you know, I'm not going to have my own way. I'm not going to think my own thoughts. I need you to help me. I need you to lead me. I need you to give me the answer to this. I need you to choose, Lord. I don't know whether to go this way or this way. I don't know what is best, Lord. What is best?
Yes.
And he sees the future and he says, this way, go this way.
Yes.
Next time you might say, go this way. But denying ourselves, you're going to have to deny yourself in little things, in big things. It's easy in the beginning to deny yourself big things. You know, I shouldn't be doing this. And so I begin to deny myself. But look, dear ones, as we go along, it gets tighter and tighter. We have to start denying things about ourselves and about our personality and about the way we think. We have to start denying closer. It gets closer and closer and tighter and tighter. And it's going to mean something to pick up that cross. That cross, everything that crosses us, all the relatives and the family and everything that crosses us.
That's so true.
We're going to have to pick that all up. We're going to have to carry it. We're going to have to deny how we feel. We're going to have to deny and act right and do right Learn to think right. Learn to cast out all those thoughts, all those places that you used to let the devil come in and just talk to you. And you used to pet and pamper with the devil and have all these conversations. It's kind of like sitting down around a campfire and relaxing with the devil all day, just letting him feed you all kind of stuff. And you feel better because, you know, somebody understands. The devil tries to make you think, I understand what you're going through. You know, and you don't have to put up with this and you don't have to put up with that. And we pet and pamper ourselves all day. And then we wonder why, when our family comes home at the end of the day, or we get home to our family at the end of the day, we wonder why we can't act right. Because we've been in the wrong place all day. We've been just feeding ourselves. We haven't denied ourselves anything. We've thought about anything we wanted to. We've pondered it. We've thought, this is wrong and that's wrong, and they're doing this and they're doing that. But we didn't spend much time thinking about ourselves, what we're doing, and what we need to change, and how we need to do different. We didn't do that. We just petted our flesh and ourselves all day long.
Yeah.
It's going to mean something to deny all this stuff out here. 24, it says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. In other words, if I'm going to save my life, I'm not going to let the Lord touch it. I'm not going to let the Lord deal with me and work with me very much. I'm going to, you know, do my own thing. I know me. I know me. Isn't that what we all thought? I know me. I know who I am. And we would tell people, oh, I'm this or I'm that, and I have these things, and I have this understanding, and oh, we're so self-aware, and we're all these things. And then the Lord gets a hold of us, and we find out that we aren't anything like we thought we were. All the places that we thought were real, real strong places, oh, places I can stand on, those are the places that we were just indulging ourselves. And the Lord says, get rid of that. That isn't going to serve you well. And we have to get rid of those things. We have to die, dear ones. Die to our own selves, our own desires, our own wants. Listen, there are many things out there in the world we desire. We're going to have to die to that too. There's so many things. This is the cross. This is our cross. Is to deny ourselves and pick up the cross. And that cross in our lives is everything that crosses us, crosses our will, crosses our interests. We have to think of others more than ourselves, which is not something we learned in the well at all, in the world at all, because in the world they say, you better take care of yourself because nobody else will. But that isn't the same way in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, we don't have to worry about taking care of ourselves because God will do it. We just have to relinquish all of our input. My son told me that he was talking to one of his cousins and giving him his testimony about what God was doing for him and how God was this and God was that and everything. And the cousin said something to me. He said, you know, I don't understand why people want somebody else to tell them everything to do. You know, why they can't just figure it out and do what they're supposed to do. And he says, Mom, he says, I realized that was meant to do something to me.
Yeah.
See, that wasn't about him having such great insight. That was meant to make me feel ashamed,
yeah,
to make me feel less because I'm letting somebody else run my life. And you should be wise enough and everything to be able to do this on your own. He says it was meant to do something to me, to make me cower and be ashamed.
Right.
He says, but I wasn't. But I wasn't. I felt sorry for him because he doesn't even know that how he's running his life is not going to get him where he thinks he's going to go. It's not going to work. All right, in 25. For what is a man advantaged? I like this scripture. I like the way this says it. Some of the other gospels say it a little different, but for what is a man advantaged if he gained the whole world and lose himself and be cast away? Lose himself. That song says, let me Come on. There, lose myself and find myself in thee. That's true. Aren't you glad that you lost yourself?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I didn't like myself very much. I pretended like I did, and I pretended like I was something important, but I really didn't like myself very much. And probably all of us were in pretty much the same boat. The idea is, what is it going to be advanced? How is it going to advance me? How is it going to give me something important? How is it going to get me further along this walk and further closer to God? How is it going to advantage me if I gain the whole world? But I lose myself and I'm cast away. What is it going to do to gain the whole world? Oh, there's so much of the world out there. All of its entertainments, all of its money, all of its political and social thoughts and processes and philosophies and all of these many, many things. What will it matter in the end? If I gain all of that, I see it, I understand it, I understand some deep things, I understand psyche and the people, the way people think. I think that I've advanced here and I've advanced there, and I have all of this, you know, money, riches, possessions maybe. Or maybe I'm content with what I have because I feel like that I've learned the real secret. It's not all about riches. It's about this. It's about that. But I'm still out there striving to get what I think it's about. What good is that all going to do you if I lose myself? People many times say, I have to go and do this to try to find myself. But what do? They don't go to God to find themselves. They go out there and try something new in the world. There are people that are thrill seekers out there trying to find themselves. You know, they're jumping out of airplanes and bungee jumping and running rapids and doing every climbing cliffs with their fingertips and all of these things. Doing dangerous, dangerous things. Trying to what? Find themselves. Trying to see what it's all about. What is life all about? Well, if they get killed doing one of those things, they'll know immediately what life is all about. And it wouldn't have been that. It wouldn't have been that. It's the afterlife is what life is all about. It's preparing for the afterlife. That's what it's about. Gain the whole world and be a castaway. Be thrown away. Oh, listen, there are people out there that have gained the whole world. They've gone out there, they've got money, fame, you know, fortune. They're everywhere they go, people want their autographs and they, you know, they buy their music or they watch their movies or they do all of these things. And they're high and lifted up.
Yeah.
But what happens in the end?
Yeah.
They're cast away.
Yeah.
They're too old for the parts anymore. Their voice goes. They can't sing like they used to sing. And they try to keep going. And they try to keep acting. And they try to keep doing all these things. And they get all these bad reviews now. They used to get good ones. They used to, oh, they're wonderful, they're perfect, they're this and that, gorgeous, beautiful. Seems like, but not now. Now they're criticized, and they should know when to hang it up, and they should know when to stop, and they should know this and that. See, they're castaway. See, what's the point of gaining the whole world when in the end you're a castaway? What about, you know, all the ones that have had fame and fortune and men that have been out there and had young women on their arms their whole life? You know what I'm talking about. In the end, they're laying up in bed and they're dying. Is that young wife there? Is she sitting there? Is she taking care of them? No. They're a castaway now. All they wanted was the money in the first place. That person's a castaway now. Oh, dear ones, we need to take up our cross. Deny ourselves of all these earthly things, all these worldly pleasures, all of these things that the devil has figured out to try to trap and ensnare us, all the things that try to keep us to where we're not paying attention. You know, what happens anymore when you get together with family? What used to happen in the old days? They used to sit around and talk.
Yeah.
They would sit around and talk and enjoy one another. And they wouldn't chase the children out of the room because their conversation would be decent and in order. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so the children could play at their feet while they're talking. And they would play, you know, little games and get together and have fun together and be outside and play together and all those things. Is that what happens now?
No.
When we have family get-togethers, is that what happens now? No. It is not what happens now. Nobody sits around and talks and has nice conversations and all that the children can all sit there. They're chasing the children out of the room so they can talk all the gossip and all the horrible things that are happening, and they can voice their opinions about all these things. And that's what happens now. They don't sit around the table, enjoy each other and laugh together, or play games together, things like that. No, that isn't what they do now. That is what they do now. Now they all gather around and watch a movie. They're still not talking. They're still not interacting. They're still not enjoying each other. Everybody, even though they're in a group and they're doing that, what is happening is they're all still individually connected. Not with anybody else in the room. Or everybody has their own. And you get together and you try to sit down and have a conversation. You can't have a conversation with anybody because they're so busy on their phones. They're so busy on there that they cannot carry on conversations. They get lost. You have to repeat yourself two or three times. They don't take any thought in their answers. They just give you a quick answer because I got to get back to this. I got to get pulled away into this individual little world where I'm isolated from all other human beings and thought, and I can get in this isolated world and it's just me in this world. Sad, isn't it? You think they're losing themselves? You think they've lost themselves? When you see them in the restaurants and everybody has their phone at the table and nobody's talking, what's the point of going out to dinner if you're not going to talk? What's the point? They're all on their phone. Husbands, wives, and children are all on a phone.
It's true.
There's no conversation. There's no interaction. Don't you know that the devil wants to divide and conquer? And so here we are. We are thrown into the midst of all these family gatherings, aren't we? We are in the midst of those things.
Yes.
And so we wander around from maybe room to room, group to group, trying to get some kind of a relationship going, trying to have some kind of a conversation. You know, but we walk up to this group and they're talking about all this gossipy stuff. And we can't go in that group. Over here, they're all just isolated. You can sit down with them, but they're all on their phones and nobody wants to talk. And if you ask them a question, it takes them forever to answer you because they're so busy doing what they're doing. So that you don't really fit in there, you know. You can try to do so many things to connect with the people in your family, and there is nothing to connect with because they have lost themselves. In the world, they have lost themselves out there, and you can't talk with them. You can't reach them. It's a sad thing, isn't it? 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Be ashamed of me and my words. Oh, listen, the world tries to damp us down.
Yes.
Stomp it out. You try to say something about God, and there are those that are going to come directly against you. I don't believe in all of that, and I don't want to hear all of that, and oh, that's just this, or that's that, and you know, religion is this, and they have all this philosophical language that they use, and it's meant to shame you.
That's good.
Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words,
yes,
I'll be ashamed of you.
Yes.
And so we keep trudging along, don't we?
Yes.
In all these different places, our workplaces, our family gatherings, even in the grocery store. You know, even there, we have to fight so many things, deny our flesh. Oh, listen, I don't know how many restaurants I've been in or grocery stores that I've been on that they started playing that old music.
Yes. Yes.
That stuff I used to sing and I used to, you know,
yes,
liked it. And they'll start playing it. And do you know, if you're not careful, you'll be singing along and you'll be, you know, and then all of a sudden you go, what am I doing? What am I doing? See, you're going to lose yourself in the music. That's what it's for. For you to lose yourself and let the music take over. That's what it's for. And all this is around us all the time. We're going to have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, which is everything that crosses against us. Some of the things, oh yeah, we don't want to take of that anymore. So we're glad when the Lord helps us and we can get away from there and go away from that. But there's some other things that you really like. You really like it. You're going to have to deny yourself. It's just like anybody, listen, dear ones. I've been talking a lot about this lately because the Lord has given me a measure of victory in my life, and I feel like I've turned loose and I can talk about it.
Amen.
And that is that you don't have to eat everything. You don't have to. It can be sitting there. You don't have to.
Yes, that's so.
It can be, you know how people say it's calling my name, and you don't have to.
Yes, amen.
There are people that are eating themselves into the grave. They know that they have high blood pressure, and they're eating all this stuff that's bad for high blood pressure. They know that they have diabetes, and they're still eating all the sweets and all the starches and all these things and pushing their blood sugar higher and higher. Why are they doing that? Because they can't deny themselves anything. They can't do it. But the Lord wants us to do that. So that's our cross. That's our cross. Now I want to talk about the cross. Matthew 10, 16 through 20. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That means mindful, prudent, wise as mindful, prudent. In other words, pay attention, be thoughtful. Look at what's happening, see what's going on. Harmless. Innocent, free from guile, free from wanting to get even, free from jealousies, free from all those things that used to be there, free from all that. I want you to be wise, like serpents, always looking, but harmless as dove. I had a bird feeder one time, and the doves would come in to eat, and all the other birds would be around there eating, and all the other birds fought. They fight for things. You know, they're always pecking at each other, doing this, doing that, and, you know, messing with each other and trying to get each other away from the food and everything. And the dove just sits there and just keeps eating. And the other birds jump on their back. They go over the top of them. They walk on them. They do all kinds of things. And the dove just keeps pecking away. Harmless as a dove.
Yeah.
Doesn't even fight the other birds for the food. Just keeps minding their own business. All this racket around them, and they're just minding their own business. He's just getting his food, and then he'll leave. That's how we are in this world. We're just trying to get our food right here in this world. Whatever the Lord has for us, we're trying to get our food, and then we're out of here. It says sheep and wolves. You know, sheep are very docile. If a sheep, because we raise sheep, when I was young, my grandparents raised sheep, and my husband raised some sheep when we were first married and all. If a sheep gets caught in a barbed wire fence, they'll lay there and die. They'll just lay there. They don't struggle, you know, they kick a little bit. Doesn't happen. base leader. And they'll die. You will not find that with goats. Goats are not like that. Goats fight hard. You find you when the birthing season comes and all the little lambs are born and they follow around their mom and they can't hardly get out of their side and they're always up against her and always this and that and always ma ma ma, you know, and following them around. The baby goats, oh no, they don't want anything to do with their parents. They run through the pasture. They butt the little baby lambs. They butt each other. You know, they play king of the mountain. If there's a rock in there, in the pen, the one will get on top and the others will try to knock him off. And then when they knock him off, they get up on top. And then the other one knocks him off and they're on top. And this is what little baby goats are like. So when the Lord says, I'm going to send you forth as sheep, we just need to follow the Lord. We just need to be up against him all the time. Because that's our only safety, because there's a lot of goats out there. And they're out to get you. In the end, it says he's going to divide the sheep from the goats. So we're these little bashful, so to speak, backward little sheep. And the goats are out here trying to hit us all the time. We're going to have to stay close to our moms, our dads, which means close to God. The authority figure, the one that we want. So it says, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Beware of men. Listen, dear ones, the enemy comes at us through men. Be careful. If they're a goat, until they become a sheep, they're still a goat. No matter how nice they seem, because it will get you. Yes. They will bide their time. You ever been in a situation, many times people are at work in situations like that, where it seems like this person is their friend, they're just the best friend, and they're just talking to you all the time, and just the best friend, and everything, and then the promotion comes up, and all of a sudden, your name is cast out as evil, and they think that you can't handle the job, and you can't do this, and everything. Why? Because they're a goat, that's why. And they're going to butt you off the top.
Yes.
So they can get on top. That's what's happening. Yes. He says, beware. Beware. Just know that when the world wants to get real, real close to you and wants to confide in you and they want you to confide in them, it's because they want ammunition against you.
Yes.
Many times it's to be used against you. You ever had that happen?
Yes.
You say the most innocent thing. Didn't know that it was anything wrong with it or whatever. And all of a sudden there's a big blow up and a big uproar over one thing that you said that you didn't even understand was going to be such a problem. You didn't even know. Beware of me. Be careful with your speech. Be careful of what you let out there. Be careful of who you take into confidence. Be careful about who you let be up close to you. And all, there have been many, many people that in the end found out that that one that they thought was their closest one turned out to be their biggest enemy. Beware. He says you're going to come before governors and kings. In other words, men in authority. There are going to be men in authority that you're going to come before. And it says, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now, how are we going to do that? Don't we have to think before we speak?
Yes,
we do that all the time. We do it every day. But it says, when you're brought up before people of authority, when there's something going on, and you're brought up before authority, oh, you can spend a lot of time thinking about what I'm going to say, how I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it this way, or I'm going to say it that way. And if I say it this way, oh, wait, they might think that, so I'll change it. You know, and you start doing all this maneuvering in your mind. One sure way to know that when things come out of your mouth, they are not going to be the Holy Ghost is to spend a lot of time thinking about what you're going to say.
Yes.
It's going to be all your thoughts by the end of it. You're going to spend a lot of time thinking about what you're going to say, and it's going to be, that's what's going to come out, because that's what you filled your mind with. Instead, you fill your mind with God. You fill your mind with His Word. You fill your mind with things like, Lord, help me to be peaceable. Help me to be cooperative. And Lord, help me to be careful in my words. And help me this and help me that. You fill your mind with all of the things that God wants us to do and think about and put our minds into. And that way, when we do speak,
yes,
it will be His influence,
yes,
that comes out. And when He gets to have His influence come out,
yes,
He will be on the other side to make it be right.
Yes, Lord help
him. Now, it may not look right. You got to be careful here. May not look right. They may get mad and angry, and you may have suffer repercussions and all those things. But it was right.
Yes.
Because God wanted to convince them and convict them of something, and it worked. But you're going to suffer the repercussions of it. That's the cross. See, that's the cross. The cross that Jesus went through. The cross that I'm a sheep and they're all wolves. And He says, that's the cross. That this world is not going to be your friend. Friends out here that say they're your friends, they're not always going to be your friends. Out of the world, probably most friends probably talk behind your back.
Yes.
Probably talk behind your back.
Yes.
They'll get up to close to somebody and they'll say, well, you know, I wouldn't want her to know. I wouldn't want him to know this. But, you know, he's this or she's that.
Yes.
And I feel really bad.
Uh-huh.
Right? They're wolves. They're wolves. They're after something. They're after to kill your influence. They're after to steal your friends. They're after to steal your job. They want to steal your husband. They want to steal your wife. They want to steal away your children so that they're not listening to you anymore, but they're listening to them and doing what they think children should be able to do. You know, you shouldn't spank your children, and you shouldn't do this to your children, and you shouldn't do that to your children, and you're too strict with your children. Why? Why do they do that? Because they want your children to be like everyone else's. It makes them uncomfortable to see children that are controlled, well-behaved, you know how to interact with people, you know how to not throw tantrums and things and be selfish and all these things. They want yours to not put them to shame. This is the cross.
Yes.
They treated Jesus bad. They're going to treat you bad. Just set your mind to it.
That's right.
This is the cross. You're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer setbacks. You're going to suffer people thrown out, casting out your name as evil. They said if they called Jesus the prince of the devils, Beelzebub, what are they going to say about you? That's the cross.
Yes.
The cross that Jesus had to bear when he was here, going out among the wolves in sheep. He was a sheep. He had a meekness and a sheep. And he went out there having that kind of thing, teaching. He was not threatening in any way. He was not trying to take all their positions. He was not trying to cast them out and raise up somebody else to take their place. No, he was trying to bring them all to the understanding that they all belong to God. They had lost themselves. They had lost themselves. They had not been denying themselves, so they had lost themselves. He was trying to save them. The cross. It says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Endureth. Hold fast. I like this second part of this. Hold fast. Bear bravely and calmly. Listen, dear ones. We cannot let the devil stir us up. We can't let the things that we're just supposed to understand are coming our way. Our families are going to be against us. Our workplace is going to be against us. Everything is going to be against us in this world. He said, I'm sending you out there. You're going to be hated of some men.
No.
No. It says all men because of my name. This is our cross. This is the cross we bear. Not the personal one that we have control over. See, we have control over our personal cross. We can give in. We can let God have it. We can deny ourselves over and over and over and correct our life and make our life better. We have control there. Our cross, we can control. We have some control. This cross, we have no control. Men are going to hate us. Just get used to it. This is how it's going to be. There's going to be children that are against their parents and parents that are against their children. There have been those that have been cast out of their family. They get saved and they're cast out of their family. Don't want anything to do with them anymore. This is the cross. This is the cross. It says, but fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Don't worry about those that kill the body. All the martyrs down through the ages, when they were killed and slain and they were burned at the stake and horrible tortures and put on the rack and sawn asunder and hooked up to one horse with their arms and one horse with their feet, and they drove the horses apart. I mean, they suffered horrible things. But it says here, don't fear that. Don't fear that. That means nothing. See, there are lots of things to fear in life, but dying in the Lord is not one of them.
Amen.
Any way you die in the Lord is still victory.
Yes.
You don't have to be afraid of that. There have been testimonies down through the ages of time that how God came to them right there when they were dying and took all suffering away. Right there when that things were happening and they couldn't feel the flames. Right there. God is going to be right there.
Yes, amen.
It's just my one sister-in-law had a dream one time that she was running away from something evil and she got shot in the back. She felt it get in the back and she fell forward and she was laying on the ground in a dream. And she said that in her dream, she kept saying out loud, it's only a short step across. It's only a short step across. In other words, it's going to be over in just a few minutes. It's going to be over. You know, I'm going to bleed out, whatever. It's going to be over in just a few minutes. Just a short step across. We don't have to fear that.
Yes, Lord.
Dying in the Lord is just a short step across.
Yes.
And then it's bliss and happiness and joy forever.
Lord.
Then it says, whosoever shall therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. There have been people that have denied the Lord. They were afraid. They were afraid of that short step across. They were afraid of the torture. They were afraid of whatever might come their way. They were afraid. And so they said, just recant, just recant. And then recanted, and then they killed them anyway. They died anyway. It's just a trick. It's just a trick of the enemy to get you to recant so that he can kill you anyway. There's a story told of in Russia where they were meeting in secret in houses here and there, and they would have to escape all the police that would patrol the streets and everything to meet at people's houses, and they would have to leave the lights off and the curtains drawn and different things so they could get together and just have fellowship one with another and talk about God and Christ, and they might have one page of the Bible and they read it over and over and over and over. And one night, these two guards busted into this house and they had their great big guns and everything, and they said, who here would like to leave? Who here is not a Christian? And who would like to leave? And there were people that got up and got out of there. And then they sat their guns down and they said, we just wanted to make sure because we want to worship with you. We wanted all the make-believe, all the false ones. We wanted them out of there. We just wanted to be in fellowship with the true ones that were willing to take a bullet from our gun. We know we can trust you and we can have worship with you and you're not going to tell us. Lord, help us. This is the cross. When I can sit there and say, no, I'm not going out and I'm going to get shot in a minute. The Lord is so good. He's so good to us. So we have our cross, which we can change our cross. We can either completely deny our own cross, you know, and just say, I don't want to do it that way. Or we can deny ourselves and carry our cross. We have power in our cross. But the cross is with us forever. Just prepare yourselves to be hated of all men. Because that's how it's going to be. Amen.
Amen.